Hi, this is Chris, and welcome to this special collection of Adventures in Odyssey, The Truth Chronicles.
And now, Candid Conversations with Connie, with your host, Connie Kendall.
Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to try to answer the question, who is my neighbor? John Avery Whitaker is in the studio with me. I'm glad you're here, Whit.
Oh, so am I, Connie. I appreciate you asking me to be on the program.
And you listeners, get ready to dial those phones to call in with your thoughts. 555-CCWC. That's 555-2292. Whit, let me kick off the show with a practical question.
Okay.
Over the past few weeks, you've dedicated a lot of time and effort to help the kids in Odyssey learn about worldview, what it is, and how to understand it.
That's right. And you've done a lot to help with that, too.
Thanks.
Though we should probably explain that we're not talking about just any worldview. We've been exploring a biblical worldview.
Right. So some of the kids have asked, who cares? I mean, what's the point of it all?
Well, that's a good question. For one thing, as we're exposed to the truth, it helps us spot the lies around us, which keeps us from being deceived. But, you know, there's something more important than even that.
What could be more important?
Well, if God's truth is a reflection of who he is, his very nature, then we can't ignore how his nature is played out in our world.
Hmm.
And what's the most important way that God has expressed himself to us, the way that has the most meaning for us?
I give up. Tell us.
Well, to get the answer, let's go to our Bibles and take a look at a story about compassion.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. The story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan, right?
Actually, no, but you're on the right track.
Hmm.
It's another story about compassion. God's compassion for us. The Bible is full of stories about how God constantly and consistently reaches out to mankind because he sees our need and does something about it.
So which story are we talking about?
The story of Jonah.
Jonah?
Huh?
But isn't his story about obedience to God?
In part. But let's listen and find out what's really going on.
Kids Radio Theater presents The Story of Jonah, a retelling featuring the Kids Radio Theater of the Air players.
Hear first the voice of God.
I was ready to welcome those who did not acknowledge me, ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, I am here, to a nation that did not invoke my name. Each day I stretched out my hand to a rebellious people who went by evil ways.
The word of God was given to the son of Amittai, a man called Jonah.
Jonah!
Yes, Lord?
Up, go to Nineveh, that great city to the north, and inform them that their wickedness is known to me.
Nineveh, my lord? Surely not. Don't you realize who those people are? They come across the border and attack our villages. They are our enemies.
Go, Jonah, and deliver my message.
But Jonah decided to run away from the Lord God, to go as far away in the opposite direction as he could.
I'll go to the port of Joppa and sail for Tarshish.
And Jonah did just that.
Captain, when do you sail?
If the wind is in our favor, we'll sail tomorrow morning.
Here, this should cover my fare.
And so it does. Welcome aboard.
Jonah boarded the vessel and found a place in the hold to rest and sleep, believing he would escape from the Lord God. But the Lord God had other plans for Jonah.
This ship is going to break up!
The sailors came from many different nations and were so frightened that they cried out to their own gods.
Please! Calm the seas!
Help us!
But to no avail.
Please help!
We must lighten the ship! Throw the cargo overboard!
Meanwhile, down in the hold, Jonah had found a comfortable place and fallen asleep. While pulling the cargo out, the captain found him and shouted,
You! What is your name?
Jonah, son of Atai.
How can you sleep at a time like this? Get up! Call on your God! Perhaps he will pay attention and not allow us to die.
So the men prayed and battled the fierce storm. When nothing seemed to work, the crew came up with another plan.
Captain, the gods must be terribly displeased with someone on board this ship. Why else would the storm follow us as it has? We must find the one who has caused this.
We will draw lots. Quickly, Put dark stones in a bag with one light-colored one. We will each draw out a stone. Whoever draws the light-colored stone is the guilty one.
The crew quickly followed the captain's instructions. Each man took a stone from the bag. And the light-colored stone was drawn by...
Jonah! Where are you from? What's your business here?
I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord God, the God of heaven who made the sea and all the land.
What have you done? Why is your God so angry with you?
He has commanded me to do that which I do not want to do. So I'm on this ship to escape from him.
What? Escape from the God who has created the sea and the land?
He will kill us all! Even now the seas turn against us again!
What are we to do with you to appease your God and make the sea calm?
This is truly my fault. There is only one thing you can do.
And what is that?
Throw me overboard.
Are you mad?
What if we throw you overboard and it makes your God angrier with us? He will kill us all.
There must be another way.
There isn't.
Captain! Captain! I can see the shore!
To the oars! Row for your lives, men! Row for shore!
The sailors took to the oars and rowed hard in the hope of reaching the shore. But it was all in vain as the sea grew rougher and rougher. Finally, in desperation, the captain cried out,
O Lord God of the Hebrews! Do not let us perish for taking this man's life! Do not hold us guilty of innocent blood, but treat us according to your great wisdom!
And with that, the men seized Jonah and threw him into the sea. And in no time at all, the sea became calm again.
Thanks be to the God of the Hebrews. Hear me, men. This day, we recognize the terrifying power of Jonah's God. We will offer sacrifices and make vows to him in thanks for our lives and to ensure a safe voyage.
But Captain, what of Jonah?
He is in the hands of his God now.
The Lord God established that a great fish should be nearby to swallow Jonah. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah remained in the belly of the fish. And there he prayed to the Lord God.
Out of my distress, I cried to the Lord God, and he answered me. From the belly of death I cried, and you have heard my voice. You threw me into the abyss, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves, your billows washed over me, and I cried, I am cast out from your sight. How will I ever look upon your holy temple again? The waters rise around me, up to my throat. The abyss embraces me. The tendrils of the deep wrap around my head. I am drawn down to the very foundations of the earth, to the graves of the ancients, to nations swallowed up in the past. But you lifted my life from the depths, God, my Lord. While my soul grew weak within me, I remembered the Lord God, and my prayer came before you, even into your holy temple. Those who serve other gods, worthless idols, can never know your grace. But I will sacrifice to you with a song of praise. Now will I fulfill my vow to serve you, for salvation comes from you, and you alone.
And the Lord God heard Jonah's prayer and commanded the fish to release Jonah onto the shore. For a second time, the Lord God spoke to Jonah.
Get up, Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach to them, as I told you.
Yes, Lord.
Jonah rose and set out for Nineveh, in obedience to the word of God. Nineveh truly was a great city. It was so large that it took 3 days to cross it. Jonah went into the center of the city and preached.
Hear me, people of Nineveh. The Lord God of Israel has seen your wickedness and is not pleased. Nineveh, this tremendous city, will be destroyed in 40 days if you do not repent. Repent!
News reached the king of Nineveh, who summoned Jonah.
What would your God have us do to stop this horrible destruction?
Repent. Refrain from food. put on sackcloth, sit in ashes, you and all of your people.
The king of Nineveh obeyed, throwing off his royal robes, putting on sackcloth, and sitting in ashes. Then he sent out a proclamation to the entire city.
By decree of the king and his ministers, men, beasts, herds, and flocks are not to eat anything, nor drink anything. Everyone must put on sackcloth and call on God with all their might. And let everyone renounce evil behavior and all wickedness. God may change his mind and turn away his burning wrath to keep us from perishing.
God saw how the people of Nineveh repented of their evil ways, and God had compassion on them and did not inflict on them disaster and destruction. Meanwhile, when Jonah saw that the Lord God had saved the city, he flew into a rage.
I knew this would happen. When I was still at home, I knew you would save them. That is why I tried to escape to Tarshish. I knew that you were a God of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in graciousness to those who repent from evil.
And God replied,
Jonah, by what right are you angry?
It is better for me to be destroyed now. Take my life. I'd rather be dead than go on living.
Jonah went out of the city and traveled some distance to the east. He found a spot and built a shelter to protect himself, and he watched to see what would happen to the city. While Jonah waited, the Lord God allowed a large vine to grow up over Jonah's head, to give him shade, and to help him to calm down.
This is good. This is very good.
At dawn the next day, the Lord God had a worm attack the vine, and it withered. God then sent a scorching east wind against Jonah, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head until he couldn't take it anymore.
Why go on living like this? I want to die. Take my life, Lord. Take it now.
Why are you so angry, Jonah? Is it about the vine? Is it right for you to be angry about the vine?
Yes, I have every right to be angry. Don't toy with me. Kill me now.
Am I to understand that you are angry about a vine, for which you did nothing to create, nor to help grow, but it grew in the night and perished in the night without any help from you? If this is how you feel about a vine, then should I not feel sorry for the people and animals of the great city of Nineveh, people who are so lost that they cannot tell their right hand from their left?
And that's where the story ends, with a question. God challenges Jonah and us to take his perspective on our neighbors, even if we think of them as enemies. Jesus certainly did. Listen to this. And Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of diseases and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he felt great pity for them because they were harassed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. His compassion overflowed to everyone he encountered, friends and strangers, even his enemies. Now, he didn't simply go around helping them because he had to, but because he wanted to. And out of that compassion, he expected his disciples to do the same.
And that brings us back to my original question. What's all this mean for us?
What's it mean for you, Connie?
Me?
Huh?
I don't think we should get personal here.
Well, why not? It's a personal question for all of us. Do you remember where this whole worldview business started for you?
Yeah, with a scene from the book of Isaiah.
Uh-huh. It's a scene we later produced for kids' radio.
I saw the Lord God seated on a high throne. His train filled the sanctuary. Above him stood seraphs, each one with six wings, two to cover its face, two to cover its feet, and two for flying. And they cried out to one another,
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory.
What a wretched state I'm in. I'm lost. A man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips. And now my eyes have looked at the King, the Lord God. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. With this, he touched my mouth and said,
"See now, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away and your iniquity is purged."
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying,
"Whom shall I send? Who will go to be our messenger?"
That's God's call to us. Who will go? Who will be his messengers? That's the question I have to ask the kids listening now. Will you go? Would you show God's love to your neighbors the way he has shown love to you? Tell us how you do it.
And we'll go to the phone lines. This is Candid Conversations.
There's a girl at school I don't like very much. Everyone makes fun of her, but I was thinking that I would sit next to her in the cafeteria.
That's a good suggestion. Next caller?
There's a kid in my class who gets bullied all the time. I think I ought to stand up for him.
Good for you. Next caller.
There are a couple kids in my class who are having trouble with math and science. I'm pretty good at those things. Maybe I could tutor them.
Oh, I hope you do. Thanks for calling. Next?
There's someone I know whose parents just split up. And even though he tries to be brave about it, I know he's really hurt. I can be a friend. I can talk to him.
Excellent. Next caller.
Yeah, I was thinking about kids who have really hard family lives. I could be a better friend.
Yeah, there are so many kids with pain no one can see. We can definitely reach out to them. Next caller.
Some kids wear really grungy clothes because they can't afford anything nicer. And they have a single mother or a father who don't have the money to pay their bills and don't know if the electricity will be turned off when they get home. Maybe I could help somehow.
That is the right kind of thinking. That's what we're talking about, right, Whit?
These are wonderful calls, Connie. I think everyone's getting the idea. All this talk about worldview only matters if it makes a difference in our world. Every minute of every day, with everyone we meet, reaching out to them, just as God reached out to us. That's what Jesus wants more than anything.
And that's where we have to wrap up our discussion about worldview and impacting our world. Let's close with some final words from Jesus on the subject.
Then the King will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you whom my Father has blessed, take for your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will say to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you welcome, naked and clothe you, sick or in prison, and go to see you?" And the King will reply, "I tell you solemnly, insofar as you did this to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me."
Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Episodes in the Truth Chronicles were written and directed by Paul McCusker, based on material from the Truth Project, written by Dr. Del Tackett, sound designed by Gap Digital. Our vocal talent included Paul Herlinger, Katie Lee, and Jess Harnell, with Will Ryan as Eugene. Our producers were Marshall Younger and Bob Hoos. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.